Welcome to this afternoon's meeting of USIP's Balkans Working Group. My name is Daniel Serwer. I'm the Vice President for Peace and Stability Operations here at the Institute. And let me urge those who haven't found a seat to try to fill in here. There's no reason for so many people to be standing, at least. I think we have a few down here as well. Steve? Others who want to fill in, please, don't be shy. It's been some time since we've had a discussion of Kosovo, and a lot has happened in recent months. Perhaps most importantly, the initiation by the United Nations of a final status process, I got to get rid of that final, that's out of fashion. It's quite clear that this will not be an easy process. At the same time, we're particularly pleased to have this morning two people who can present differing perspectives on the status of Kosovo. Obrad Kesic, who's well known to most of the people in this group, I think, who is, I think his company is called TSM Global Consultants. But we all know Obrad as somebody who has spent a lot of time working on and in the Balkans, who's a very keen analyst of what's going on there, and who always, I think, when he speaks here, has brought us a good deal of enlightenment and help in understanding what's going on. Hashim Thaçi, of course, has been a protagonist in the Balkans. He was the political leader of the KLA during the war. He has since become a leader of an important but opposition political party in Kosovo, and is part of the team that will be negotiating. And I think I'm going to have more and more problems figuring out where to put people. But there are a couple of seats here, so don't be shy. There are two right up here. There's one here. There's one there, I think. Don't be shy. So it's a particular pleasure to have both Obrad and Hashim with us. We'll start with Hashim Thaçi, who will speak briefly, probably about 15 minutes, then go to Obrad and leave the bulk of the time for questions and answers, comments. I urge everybody, including myself in this case, to turn off their cell phones. This is a meeting that's on the record. It is not being webcast, I think, but we will have it up on the web as quickly as possible in audio after the event. Hashim.
Good afternoon. I would like to thank Daniel Server for the invitation to participate today, and I look forward to an open and honest discussion, first with Obrad Kesic and then with you all. 2006 is a critical year for Kosovo, and I hope a year of decision for the political status. This year, the international community will make a crucial decision. It will either confirm Kosovo's independence or delay it by deciding otherwise. If the first path is taken, then Serbia and Kosovo will go forward to together and continue their path of democratic development and eventual membership in the European Union. If the second path is taken, then both countries will be condemned to more conflict, a setback for democratic development, and both will fail together. Please allow me to explain. Since 1999, both Kosovo and Serbia have made tremendous democratic gains. We both have enjoyed free and fair election, advancement of human rights, enjoyed an increase in the rule of law, and the development of better governing institutions. We both have a long way to go, but we have made progress. It is vital that this progress continue. Now let's consider what is possible and what is not possible in settling the status of Kosovo. What is possible and vital is that this status enables Kosovo and Serbia to put history into the past and move forward. Kosovo and Serbia have lived without each other now for 6 years. We must continue to live this way. We can and will be excellent neighbors, but we cannot live in the same house. Sovereignty over Kosovo cannot belong to Belgrade, as history has shown us too many times that Albanians will suffer under Belgrade's control. It really does not matter if Serbia is a monarchy, a socialist state, a nationalist state, or a democracy. Second, it is possible and vital that Kosovo and Serbia look after each other's minorities. Both states want to be part of Europe. In this, Belgrade and Pristina are in total and perfect agreement. We want our state to qualify in every way of EU membership, just as we know the Serbian people want their state to qualify. The standards of EU membership must be the work plan for both states. Likewise, we will both work toward NATO membership in the future. Just as minorities in Kosovo need decentralization to ensure their rights and community life can flourish in Kosovo, so do minorities in Serbia need the same level of decentralization. In that respect, I challenge Serbia today to show us that decentralization can work. Do it now in Serbia, so the Albanians in Preshtina will tell us how well it works and how good it is. Lead by example and do not ask more from us than you are willing to give yourself. Third, it is possible and vital that Albanians and Serbs can effectively live together in two independent states, living side by side with open borders and free travel. Come to Kosovo and visit your monasteries and holy places. Come and enjoy our natural wonders. Visit your cemeteries and ski in our beautiful mountains. We welcome you. Not only is that good for business, but it is natural in the 21st century. It is very possible, and it is what we want. Why shouldn't people be able to travel freely between Serbia villages, between Kosovo and Serbia, and even to drive on to visit the beaches and tourist sites in Albania? People in Europe travel freely across borders, and we want the same. Now let us consider what is not possible. Belgrade talks freely of more than autonomy, but less than independence. But without defining that in specific terms, this much we know, however. From what has been said so far, Belgrade's vision of autonomy is not as great as Kosovo had under the 1974 constitution. In other words, after decades of oppression, after ethnic cleansing and mass murder, after the burning and looting of our homes and churches and mosques by Serbian forces, we are expected to live with less freedom, fewer authorities, and less self-rule than we had over 30 years ago. Human rights and freedoms must always go forward, never back. Once given, freedom and rights cannot be taken away. And President Bush has spoken strongly about advancing freedom around the world, and we will not allow our future status to be less than or equal to what it is now. It can only be greater. Now let us consider another aspect of these issues: Serbia's continued development as a democratic state. We want Serbia to be democratic. We want Serbs never again to suffer from dictatorship. We want all the people of Serbia, including the ethnic Albanians living there, to enjoy the highest level of freedom and rights possible in today's world. We also want the same for Albanians and Serbs in Kosovo, but if Serbia is forced to continue and effectively integrate a hostile population that will constitute over a quarter of its population, then democracy will not survive. If Kosovo is not completely separate from Serbia, then the future rulers of Serbia will, without a doubt, be the radical party as Serbian nationalism will thrive. With Kosovo out of Serbia, the issue will be settled once and for all, and the radicals and other nationalist groups will no longer be able to use the Kosovo card to get voters. Let's be honest here and at the same time fantasize a nightmare scenario, which all of us know but very few of us speak about. If a scenario other than independence occurs, the impact of this would be devastating and destabilizing for the entire region. It would, one case, erase in Serbian nationalism, while two, at the same time, disappointed many in Kosovo who have been listening to and believing the whispers of the international community in the last few years. While I will refrain myself from speculation here what the outcome will be, all of us have a good idea how destabilizing this could be. The offers of autonomy that we hear are simply a mask for a term that I really had to ask to use here, but I feel I must. What Serbia is proposing is an apartheid Albanian Bantustan that will wall off Albanians in Kosovo, protect all ethnic Serbs living in majority Albanian areas from being under Albanian rule or having to answer to Albanian police or judges or go to Albanian doctors, and to maintain special privileges reserved only for the ethnic group, such as pensions, extra salaries for working in Kosovo, free electricity, etc. This is nothing more than apartheid. Such apartheid cannot exist in the 21st century, and the international community cannot sanction another Bantustan. We often hear accusations of how Serbs cannot live with Albanians because their homes and churches were destroyed. It is true that since the horrors of 1999, there have been inter-ethnic incidents of hatred, and angry mobs have reacted against Serb churches and other sites associated with the Serbian states. These acts were wrong, and our government in Kosovo condemned them. The same government also puts aside tens of millions of euros for repairs and reconstruction and to help displaced minorities return to their homes. This proves one thing. The government in Kosovo, the state, if you will, has demonstrated that it can act responsibly and will treat Serbs and other minorities respectfully in accordance with modern norms. This has not been the case with the Serbian state and its government, whose forces and personnel attacked our people, destroyed our homes, and to this day has made no effort to compensate Albanians and other non-Serbs for their losses. We know compromise will be required as part of final status. We are prepared to compromise in many areas, but we will not settle for anything less than the complete absence of Belgrade's sovereignty over Kosovo. We can assure that sovereignty with the international community for some time, but we cannot accept Serbia having any part of it. We are prepared to work with Serbia as good neighbors, but we are not prepared to live in the same house. We are prepared and even eager to go forward with Serbia as neighboring states on a path toward EU integration and even NATO partnership someday in the future. We are prepared and have been prepared to work to effect decentralization in Kosovo that will protect the interests of minorities and all citizens in the future state of Kosovo. But we are not prepared to stake our survival on Serbia's future democratic development. And we are not prepared to take a chance of living under Serbian nationalist rule again. We are not prepared to live under the threat of Serbia police or military ever again. And we are not prepared to trust our security to the very government and security forces that drove half our people from their homes. We are also not prepared to give up part of our territory, and the international community supports us in this. Again and again, we hear arguments from Belgrade that the presence of ancient churches and monasteries entitles Serbia to sovereignty over Kosovo. We hear the medieval poetry and epics celebrating a 500-year-old defeat that seems to justify the domination of ethnic Albanians by Serbs. We listen to Belgrade's pronouncements that the independent Kosovo sets precedents around the world for independence movement, including threats of oppressing by Serbs in Croatia and Bosnia. By the same token, Serbian churches will survive in Kosovo and Serbian Orthodox monasteries will surely hear the chants of Serbian monks for centuries to come. This is really not an issue, and no one should try to use these holy places for political gain. But Kosovo really is a unique case. Kosovo does not set a precedent for Tibet, Chechnya, the Serbian Republic in Bosnia, or any other case. This is about Kosovo, nothing more, nothing less. My people and my country deserve independence. We have earned it. We have fought for it. We have worked for it, and we are prepared for it. It is up to the world and Serbia to recognize this new reality and to work with Kosovo and Serbia to become member states fully integrated into Euro-Atlantic structures. Thank you, and I look forward to our discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hashim. Obrad.
Thank you, Dan. First of all, I want to ask you to be patient with me and for your paying attention, special attention, because I'm coming off of bronchitis and strep throat. So I'll do my best to articulate. And if anybody in the back is having trouble hearing me, please interrupt me and let me know. But I will do my best to try to articulate as well as I can. It's a pleasure to be here today with you. It's going to be very difficult to sort out where we see commonality, where we see, I think, points where we can build upon. And I think that's the most important thing if you're paying attention to what the two of us have to say in our opening remarks. It's going to be very clear to you where we disagree. But it's going to be less apparent where we agree. And I think that's where we should spend some time, is focusing on where we agree. And I hope to get that to that point in the questions that you will all have. But to begin with, I have prepared my remarks along the lines of what Dan sent me would be the topics of discussion today. And I did a better job of disciplining myself because I was ill than I normally do, so I stuck to those questions that he sent me. I just reversed the order a little bit. The first topic I want to talk about is the international community and the role of the international community. First thing that can be said about the international community is that contradictions abound. There's very little that's clear in the position, if there is a position, of the international community as to the final status of Kosovo. You have the statement of no border changes versus the acceptable negotiated border changes. You have the statement that there that it's okay to partition Serbia, but no other partitions are allowed. Then you have the statement that ethnic cleansing and violence must not be rewarded, unless doing so, of course, creates greater stability. You have the argument that was said over 5 years ago that standards should be laid clearly and adhered to before the discussion on status should begin. Now, only to have status with standards occurring simultaneously. I think it's fair to say that the position of the international community is very difficult to describe in the sense of what, number one, is the foundations of its policy towards Kosovo, and number two, what are the clear end results that members of the international community, especially the most important ones, the United States, and Europe would like to see. Other than slogans, when we get to specifics, there's a great deal of information that lacks. It reminds me of my relationship in some ways with my late father. And I would be so bold to say probably your relationship with your own fathers or mothers. Whenever he would try to get me to do something I didn't want to do or get me not to do something he didn't want me to do, he would always begin the argument and say, do what I say and not what I do. If that didn't work, he would say, as long as I'm your father, you have to listen to me. And finally, he would pull out the big guns and say, because I said so. And that would end the argument because, you know, once father said, I said so, there's no arguing. Now, this worked, but it only worked as long as I was a child and adolescent. But when I grew in confidence and I began to see my own way in life, I challenged him, as probably all of you did. I wanted to make my own mistakes, because as you grow up, there's a sense that you have to follow your own path, but it's also tied to the way you see yourself. It's about honor. It's about respect. It's about the ability to make your own decisions. And so with the international community, the statements that they make when it comes to the Kosovo negotiations, I see very much along these lines. With Serbia in particular, when Serbia was just coming out of the phase of Milosevic rule, statements like these, do it because we say so, had much more effect. Or statements that say, ignore what we do elsewhere, but in this case you have to do this, that had more effect. Now in this case, that's no longer the case. Serbia and Serbian politicians know that Serbia's future is in their hands. Their responsibility is to their electorate and to the citizens of that state. The decisions that they have to make are very difficult decisions, decisions that have to build upon the democratic foundations that have already been laid and that Mr. Tači has spelled out in his early remarks. Progress has been made, but it's a delicate procedure. No one in Serbia is willing to endanger that process. No one is willing to go down the road just because someone is twisting their arm a little bit or encouraging to do so with illusions of carrots that don't exist, that if that road is going to lead to greater civic unrest, greater divisions among Serbian society, and potential conflict within Serbian society. There is not a single political leader willing to take on that responsibility in Serbia. And I think it's something that's normal. So to ask Serbia and Serbian politicians to do something that other politicians in the region are not prepared to do themselves is a little bit too much in this current framework. And I'll come back to what I mean by that a little bit later. Now, the international community is unsure of its own position. It lacks real vital interests in this whole matter, I would argue. And when it comes down to it, the United States can always declare victory and pull out. If the negotiations don't proceed according to our expectations, or if there are bumps along the way. The international community also lacks both the tools and the will to use them. And by tools, what do I mean? I mean carrots and sticks, both. The carrot that was most apparent, early admission into the EU, is not an effective carrot any longer. After the French referendum and after what everybody in Europe is seeing as a long and drawn-out process in terms of potential new members ever gaining acceptance into the EU. And the question of, even if all the Balkan countries enter the EU, what will happen to the EU? What is going to happen to the EU itself? These are very important questions. So that carrot has lost its luster and its appeal in a large way. Sticks, because of the lack of vital national interests, not only on the part of the United States, but on the part of most European countries, there's not a willingness to even think about using the stick unless troops on the ground are threatened, in which case there will be a military response. Now, having said all that, what is the preference? The preference, other than here in Washington, in Europe at least, is to kick the can down the road, is to draw out the process, to allow the developments on the ground to shape out, to see how democratization in Serbia will develop, to see if it can weather the storm and meet the challenges of the radical party's growing popularity, to see in Kosovo if civil society can be built, if a political discourse amongst all of the political parties in Kosovo can truly bear fruit of stability and, more importantly, protection for minorities within Kosovo, to see what will happen when President Rugova dies in terms of the sharing of power and who will represent the power when that day comes. How will that affect the negotiations? All of these factors are reasons why the Europeans prefer to kick the can down the road. Now, a very wise man once said, if you don't do it today, you're going to have to do it tomorrow. So it's better to swallow the medicine and get it over with. But, you know, on the other hand, there's much to be said for going too quickly and without a lot of thought down a road nobody knows quite clearly where it's leading. Can the gap between Albanians and Serbs be narrowed? I believe yes, it can, especially if the negotiations in the early phase concentrate on practical matters of interest to both Serbs and Albanians. And I think this is something that can be clearly laid out, what those issues are of common interest. Both Serb and Albanian leaders must accept responsibility for finding solutions based on compromise. And compromise does not mean one side gives in and the other side accepts. It means both sides have to give something. They must be much more mature in approaching these talks than they have shown themselves to be over the past several years. And this is a criticism of both the Serb and Albanian politicians. And finally, there can be no imposition from outside if you want a stable solution. What happens if these talks fail? I'm not quite sure what failure means in that question. I believe that these talks will drag on without a quick resolution, especially over the main issue of status. If this happens, I fear there will be violence in Kosovo directed against the remaining Serb minority, and I fear that there will be broad instability throughout the region. At the same time, if independence is forced without Serbia's agreement, you'll have long-term instability affecting Bosnia, Macedonia, southern Serbia, and other states in the region. You'll have a backlash in Serbia, bringing the radicals for sure to power, probably without having to build a coalition government. Serbia will legally challenge any imposition of independence, unilateral decision of independence. And a historic dream will be created for Serbs to liberate, once again, Kosovo. After all, Kosovo was gone to Serbs for 500 years, but yet Serbs greeted each other and said, next year in Kosovo, Polje, just like the Jews do or did with next year in Jerusalem. So sowing the seeds of future generations that will seek to take revenge, and to liberate territory that they feel is properly theirs is not the way to go. Moreover, the U.S. will be forced to keep troops on the ground indefinitely because the U.S. is the only country that has credibility on the ground in terms of military power. This is definitely an option that this administration does not want to have to pursue. Given all of this, it's very important then that one thing is clear. You can do a lot in terms of making progress over specific issues of concern, both to Serbs and Albanians. When it comes to status, it's going to be extremely difficult to find a solution that meets the minimum requirements that Serbs have for sovereignty or perceived sovereignty and the ultimate demands of Albanians for independence. But you have to keep in mind, as far as I'm concerned, that it's very difficult to see an independent Kosovo without agreement from Belgrade. Thank you.
Thank you, Wilbrad. I'm going to moderate from up here so that Miriam can help Hashim Thaci out with a little bit of translation. The floor is open. There's a microphone that way, and I can only imagine that in a crowd this large, we have a few questions, so don't be shy. Mr. Ambassador.
Cvjeto Job. I have two questions for Mr. Thaci. Let me briefly introduce the first. In the life of all relevant history, the Kosovo Albanians' right to self-determination, including secession, should be fully understood and accepted. Also, in the end, Kosovo final status will have to include full sovereignty, statehood, and independence. My question is this. Do you think that if the contact group and the UN Security Council do not open doors to Kosovo independence without further delay, there would be a serious possibility that Kosovo Albanians might resume their armed struggle to achieve their legitimate goal of independence? My second question, since everything about Kosovo is connected, what is your reaction to today's report in the New York Times of an authentic document of the Egyptian Foreign Ministry that the United States is holding Iraqi and Afghan prisoners in secret CIA prisons in a number of East European countries, including Kosovo? Do you know of the existence of such clandestine camps in Kosovo? And what would you think of the probable existence of such camps where, allegedly, prisoners can be abused and tortured in violation of Geneva Conventions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Let me urge others to line up while we give Hashim a chance to respond. You go ahead. You can. Okay.
First, I agree with you that Kosovo, I hope and I believe, they will be independent and full sovereignty state. And for that, we work very closely with the international community, with United States, to implement Ghouta negotiation process and with contact group. And I hope, and as you know, contact group is very clear in the way that we work together. It means that Kosovo and the people of Kosovo will not be disappointed at the end of negotiation process. And now it's one peace process for the political status of Kosovo. And I believe that international community will support a democracy, principle a democratic principle, will of the people, and I don't see no chance for the weapons conflict. I don't see no chance for the trouble in Kosovo, because the people of Kosovo, political parties, institution, open society, all believe in this process that we can find the best solution at the end of negotiation process. And we as Kosovans, as Daniel said, I'm leader of opposition, but for the political status, we work very closely, position and opposition. And we have the same way, we have the same documents, we work for that, and we give to Mr. Ahtisaari. And our way is clear. Kosovo will be independent. And we will have very good, we have in the next future, in the near future, we will have good relation as neighbors with Serbia and very good relation with Macedonia too, Albania and Montenegro too. It means I am fully convinced that the process on the end of negotiation will be independent, independence of Kosovo, but through negotiation with international community. And I don't see no reason for trouble or demonstration or new conflict in Kosovo, because people of Kosovo believe in the democracy of the Western. They respect will of the people of Kosovo. And second question. We have very good relation with KFOR. We respect very much military presence of United States in Kosovo too, but we are and we support very much for that. We know that there are some articles in some newspapers for many issues in Kosovo or in Balkan, but we are part as Kosovans too with our opportunities, part against terrorism too, but as we know, Kosovo is not a place for illegal jails, but it's part of democracy.
Thank you. Let me take two questions.
My question is primarily...
Please introduce yourself.
I'm Yelena McWilliams. My question is primarily for Mr. Tachi, and I would like Mr. Kesic to follow up as well. Mr. Tachi, you mentioned that there were incidents in Kosovo of angry mobs burning Serbian churches and monasteries. One is an incident, two is an incident, five can be an incident, but 130, 150 plus churches is no longer an incident. It's a campaign. It's a collective effort. In light of that, and in light of the international community's inability to prevent the expulsion of the ethnic minorities from Kosovo, what kind of guarantees can an independent Kosovo, and especially Kosovo run by KLA, provide for those ethnic minorities to come back and actually have a safe and solid life in those places? Thank you.
Okay, I take it back. I'll take just this one question, since this is a very important one. Hashim, I think you're asked to respond first, and then Obra.
I will continue in Albanian language to be more clear. Ne jemi të përgjeshëm se vetëm garantimi të drejtave të minoritarëve zgjidhet çështja e Kosovës. Drejt.
We are aware that only by guaranteeing the rights of the minorities, the Kosovo question can be resolved in a just manner.
Dhe të drejtat e tyre do t'i garantojmë edhe me duke respektuar veprimin afirmativ.
So we will try to guarantee to ensure the minority rights by providing for affirmative action, among other things.
Para dy vitesh e kam qenë pikërisht në institutin për poshtë duke mbajtur një fjalim kur ka shpërthyer protestat në Kosovë në mars të vitit 2004.
Almost 2 years ago, in March 2004, I was here precisely at the USIP and made a presentation when the march events took place.
Dhe ka, atëherë kanë folur për domosdoshmërinë e vendimit që duhet nxjerrë komuniteti ndërkombëtar
për stabilizimin politik. I spoke of the necessity for the international community to make a decision on the final status of Kosovo.
E përmenda edhe aktivitet edhe angazhimet e mëdha të qeverisë atëhershme për renovimin dhe tejkalimin e situatës së ngjarjeve të marsit.
And then later on, I also spoke about how the about the government, government of Kosovo, efforts to repair the damage and overcome overcome that legacy.
Gjërat e Morsit kanë qenë një shpërthim spontan I qytetarëve.
The March events were a spontaneous eruption as a consequence of the drowning of the children.
Dhe kanë qenë thjesht një aksident në proces.
And these events were constituted an accident in the political developments in Kosovo and amongst the Albanian society there.
Dhe nuk do të ndodhin më.
And those events will not happen again.
Për arsye se tërë spektri politik, institucionet dhe shoqëria është e fokusuar në përshpejtimin e procesit demokratik.
Because the entire society, the political spectrum, the institutions are focused on speeding up the ongoing processes and bringing about a resolution to the political status.
Për mua kanë qenë dhe janë të dënueshme gjitha veprimet që kanë qenë individuale ndaj monumenteve kulturo-historike.
All the individual acts that have occurred against the cultural and historical monuments are to be condemned, and I condemn them.
Por për asë sa kom keqar dhe që ka ndodhë ato zhvillime, asë që më krenar që kemi, ju kemi përkushtu me njëherë punës për renovim.
While I regret and I'm sorry about those incidents taking place, I'm also proud that we took on the responsibility to repair the damage immediately.
Tash jemi duke bërë decentralizimi.
Now we are focused on decentralization.
Unë besoj se do të jetë një proces integrues edhe për minoritarë, por për gjithë qytetarët e Kosovës.
Which I believe will bring about an integration of all the communities into the institutions and the society.
Over.
I think this is probably the crucial issue in terms of confidence building between Serbs and Albanians. It's very difficult given the lack of progress that has been made on security for minorities, the fact that most of the minorities that remain in Kosovo and remain in enclaves that are little more than ghettos, there's very little, hardly for Serbs, you can't even classify it as any freedom of movement. Issues that were basic in easing tensions in Bosnia that were dealt with so that then progress can be made on other areas for building joint institutions, easing tensions so that politics could occur in a normal way. Right now in Kosovo, we have a situation where there's very little progress according to every report of the UN High, the Human Rights Rapporteur. According to all the reports, even Kai ID's last report to the Security Council, are a litany of failures, not only that should be put on the shoulders of the Albanian politicians, but also on the politicians of the international community, the representatives of the international community. Because after all, they are there primarily providing security for the minorities, have been since NATO's entered. And their failure is even more glaring than of the Albanian politicians themselves. But it's very difficult to build confidence and ask Serbs to trust in institutions that are yet to be created and in political leaders who have yet to prove themselves in terms of being able to provide for their basic security and their basic needs as citizens. And so this issue is kind of at the heart of how you move further in terms of the negotiations. You have to deal with some very specific issues, such as freedom of movement, establishing freedom of movement, before you can even get further down the road to talk about anything more substantial in terms of status.
This time I will take two people, please.
Okay, my name is Arsen Čeku. I am originally from Kosovo. I lived in Zagreb. And let's go for Mr. Kesic, I have a question. Let's go back a little bit digging history. In the 90s, it was the lead Serbian leader in Croatia, Jovan Rašković, who, when he was offered the vice presidential post, he refused with explanation that Serbian people are crazy people. Then we had another, his like a colleague in Bosnia, Radovan Karadžić. Then after that came Dobrica Ćosić with a statement that Serbia is winner during the war, loser during the peace. And fourth boy, which is really right guy, Mirko Kovac, said if it's that true, then Serbian people look like they are idiots. Now, I want to know where you stand, because by your introduction today, I wasn't very much convinced which direction to go. And you mentioned, quoted the wise man. Now, what is, do you support for interest of the Serbian Kosovo, independence of Kosovo? And in the end, I will have one personal question. Since break of Yugoslavia, how much weight you gained?
That is absolutely the wrong place for that question. I agree.
It's okay. Everything's fair game.
David, could you, please?
My name is David Binder, and my question is directed to Hashim Tači. When I first went to Kosovo more than 40 years ago, it was a place with not terribly much security. There had to be a huge Serbian police and military presence to keep things quiet. At least that's was the perspective we had when we traveled there as journalists. I can't remember when Kosovo was a stable place in terms of public security. And this leads me to a question directed to you. Given the fact that Albanian politicians, including the President Rugova, have come under attack by, presumably by Albanians, how secure are you personally? Do you have to travel with a security guard? Do you feel safe in your Kosovo, in your community, in your town?
Oh, Brad, did you want to take on the...
Yeah, the first in terms of where I stand personally. My whole career, I would like to think, and I think I've been on the record often enough over the last 15 years, that's what I've been fighting against my whole career, is having to answer that question. Because when it comes down to it, you're asking me, am I a Serb who will fight and die for Kosovo, or am I a Serb who is a traitor? And I don't see you can make those type of distinctions. Milosevic wanted to make those type of distinctions. The people who, in some of the breakaway republics who've created new states, like to define their citizens on the basis of those distinctions. I'd like to think that we're beyond that, and that we succeeded in our struggle to not have to answer those kind of questions of, are we a good Serb or a bad Serb? Or are we a good Albanian or a bad Albanian? What I like to see is that there's stability in the region of the Balkans, and I think there's great possibility for that. I also would like to see a friendship, a true friendship, develop between Serbs and Albanians. And I've been going to Albania myself since 91, May of 91. And I can tell you one of the biggest problems that there is that Serbs and Albanians know very little about each other, have very little contact with each other, other than the contact that was in Kosovo, which was always a confrontational conflict and contact. But if you ask average Serbs what they know about Albanians, you won't get a long list, and it won't be very positive. But if you ask Albanians what they know about Serbs, you'll get a similar list, and this is unfortunate. But we have to promote dialogue. We have to promote honest contact between representatives of Serbs and Albanians and also throughout the region. If you're asking what my position on Kosovo status is, I'll be very precise. I believe that if you've argued for 10 years against the creation of monoethnic states as they were being dangerous for stability in the region, then you can't make an exception now for Kosovo. If you've argued that you cannot reward ethnic cleansing and violence by recognizing, for example, Republika Srpska as an independent state or Herceg Bosna in Herzegovina as independent states, then why would you do so now in Kosovo? I see the arguments that are being made now totally in contradiction with the arguments that were made 10 years ago, and that bothers me. If Serbs and Albanians come to an agreement on the status, whether it's independence for Kosovo whether it's some type of semi formal status where they're tied in some way, confederation, whatever it may be. To be honest with you, I don't care, as long as it is not forced upon the people in the region. I care about Serbia very much. I was born there. But I think that if this is forced down Serbia's throat, for the entire region, it's going to be bad news. And it's going to mean major instability in the region for some time to come. And that's what concerns me. In terms of your other question, I wish it was a lot less than I have.
There's a man who'll answer any question. Hashim, do you want to address the question of your own personal security and security generally in Kosovo?
Jam 37 vjeçor, po tash 15 vite merrem aktivisht me politikë në mënyrën time.
I am 37 years old, but I've been active in politics for 15 years in one way or the other.
Fillimi si ohesi lëvizje studentore në Kosovë, pastaj si bashkëtemelues i ushtrisë studentore të Kosovës, e prej vitit 98 besoj se shumica prej ju njeni.
In the beginning, I was a student leader in Kosovo, and then I was the political leader of the KLA, and after 1998, I believe most of you know what my activities were.
Përpjekjet e mia fillestare kanë qenë kundër të thotë regjimit komunist të Jugoslavisë dhe lidhjes komuniste të Kosovës.
My initial activities were directed against the communist party and the communist leadership in Kosovo.
Dhe pastaj angazhimet tjera kanë qenë për lirinë e vendit tim kundër ushtrisë policisë së Miloševićit.
And my later activities were about driving away the Milošević military and police and securing the liberty for my people.
Dhe këtu ballafaqime mund t'i imagjinoni vetë.
And you can only imagine how it felt like being involved in the, in those activities.
Por gjithashtu ku mor vendime të rëndësishme edhe në Rambouillet.
During the time I also had to take very difficult decisions such as the one in Rambouillet.
Do thot për të vendimin në emër të Kosovës.
A decision on behalf of Kosovo alongside with other colleagues.
Dhe nuk ka qenë lehtë të binde njerëzit me pushën dorë për marrëveshje paqësore.
It wasn't easy at all to convince people with guns to accept a peace agreement.
Dhe natyrisht këto vendime cilin edhe kundërshtar, por cilin edhe miq.
And those decisions both bring you opponents but also bring you friends as a political leader.
Por mbi gjitha kur e ke rezultatin atëherë cilin më tepër miq.
But once you have a favorable outcome, you get more friends than enemies.
Dhe në kuadër këti, angazhimi, natyrisht se edhe personalisht do të kam marrë ato vendime çfarë mendoj se kanë qenë më të mira për vendin tim dhe për popullin tim.
And in this framework, I feel that I did take the right decision, which were good for my country and my people at that time.
Duke amortizuar edhe ata njerëz që ishin kundër paqes, por duke ruajtur edhe partneritetin me bashkinë ndërkombëtare.
So I had to do this by both pushing back those who were against peace and also by winning over the international community.
Liderët politikë në Kosovë nuk janë sulmuar nga shqiptarët.
Political leaders in Kosovo have not been attacked by Albanians though.
Unë kam qenë i ndjekur, kam qenë edhe i dënuar nga Miloševiqi.
I have been both persecuted and sentenced by Milošević people.
Por gjithmonë jam ndier shumë i lirë.
But I have always felt free.
Shumë mirë dhe shumë i sigurt në vendin tim dhe pranë qytetarëve të mi.
I felt good and I felt good also among my people in my country in my.
Sepse thash gjithë jetën e kam kushtuar vendit dhe qytetarëve të mi. Për liri dhe për.
As I said, I have devoted all my life until now to my people, to their liberty and for a democratic country.
Por tash prap pavarësisë po ndihem edhe më mirë.
But now in the run up to independence, which is imminent, I feel even better.
And safer.
Of course.
It's any comfort.
And in NATO presence too.
Maybe I can dare comment here. There are quite a few people in the room, I think, who have traveled in Kosovo in recent years, including myself. I think it's really quite normal for non-Serbs to travel freely in Kosovo. The issue is for Serbs, and I have a question for Obrad, actually. One of the things that Belgrade has done that seems to me to have aggravated the situation inside Kosovo is to insist on the use of Serbian license plates in the enclaves and not to allow people to get Pristina plates. It seems to me that this is a major factor in limiting freedom of movement. We know from Bosnia how important it can be. And I wondered if you would comment on what I regard not so much as a legal requirement, but what seems to be a concerted policy to ensure the use of Belgrade license plates by Serbs in Kosovo, despite Resolution 1244, which clearly makes the UN the sovereign authority in Kosovo temporarily.
But Resolution 1244, as you know, also is contradictory, and that it pays
into the microphone.
It pays lip service, if nothing else, to sovereignty and Serbia's sovereignty over Kosovo. So you're right. Issues such as license plates that are normally not that important become politicized. But that's not the main reason why there's a lack of basic security, why there's a lack of freedom of movement. The basic reason why there's a lack of freedom of movement is that Serbs are targeted, and the remaining Serbs are targeted. And this is done systematically, and it's done with the desire to force the remaining Serbs out of Kosovo. The fact is that the Serbs, when they move, they're under armed escort in these enclaves. And many times, even under the armed escort of NATO soldiers, they are still attacked. They're hit with rocks. Just a couple weeks ago, there was another case of a bomb that was to be placed with a bus. This is a big issue, and it's an essential issue to understand. In Bosnia, where you had a clear-cut case in terms of being able to deal with the license plate, so when the high rep makes a decision and says everybody in the country will have the following license plates because they're neutral, and he picks out letters that are the same in the Cyrillic alphabet as in the Latin alphabet, that's possible because his authority extended throughout the entire territory. It was unchallenged. And all three ethnic groups, all three peoples, accepted that decision. And then it was implemented. But you also had the presence of troops on the ground that ensured that there was freedom of movement. And this is where I say most of the blame has to be put at the foot of NATO and of the troops that are there, because they haven't effectively gone as aggressively over this issue and other issues that they did in Bosnia. They had a different policy when it came to implementing freedom of movement in Kosovo.
Well, I won't. I'll quarrel with Obrad a little bit offline. Please,
My name is
next two, please.
Adrienne Daugherty. I'm with the Solidarity Center, AFL-CIO, which is American Labor Movement. This question is for Mr. Thaci. Okay. Good to see you again.
Thank you very much.
We have a question about the Lege te punes, the labor law in Kosovo. And the question is, for the last 6 years, there's been a lot of discussion back and forth with your government about signing a labor law, which you have signed, that is supposed to respect freedom of association and the right to collective bargaining for independent trade unions there. However, there really is no serious implementation of the government on this issue. There is no collective bargaining rights. And a lot of the discussion focuses on the United Nations and the blame game of who has money in the budget. But our question for you is, we see the trade unions as playing a very positive role in Kosovo, working with the ethnic enclaves, working with Serbian teachers in the enclaves, as a way to help your government to promote transparency through coordinated mechanisms like we have in democratic countries, which constitute collective bargaining and legal implementation. So we'd like to ask you, it's been 6-7 years now, what do you see as the legitimate time frame for accomplishing worker rights in Kosovo.
Dana.
Dana Eyre, currently at U.S. Institute of Peace and 3 years in Kosovo with the U.N. And my dearest friends in Kosovo are one of the rare Serb-Albanian couples still living in Pristina, and so I'm kind of intimately familiar with the issues of minority presence and freedom of movement and those kinds of things. So the question I want to ask picks up on Mr. Kesicic's comments about dialogue and reflection on the moral claims of the various parties, because I think the issue of that issue is absolutely central in finding a way ahead. Both sides need to kind of fully recognize the root and the moral claim. On the part of Mr. Thaci, the question that I'd like to ask particularly, though, is about patience and about timing. The moral claim of the Albanians lies in, we are the majority and this is our will. Now, that's a justifiable moral claim for a democracy, but that doesn't speak to 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009. It speaks to the long-term process. For Mr. Kesic, I think the reflection is, how have the events, the Vukovar trials, the movies that have come out about Bosnia and everything, caused within the public sphere in Serbia a reflection on the complexity of moral claims, the importance of minority rights, protection of minority rights, genuine democratization, and how will those dialogues come together?
Mandatin e kaluar të qeverisë ka ohequr partia që ohequn dhe kanë nënshkruar kontratën kolektive me sindikatën e punëtorëve.
In the previous term of the government, which was headed by the PDK, a collective bargaining contract was signed with the trade unions.
Sindikata është aktive, por jo edhe aq e suksesshme. Është organizuar relativisht mirë dhe në tërë territorin e Kosovës.
The trade unions in Kosovo are active, but are relatively successful and are well organized throughout Kosovo.
Do të dëshirojmë që të jetë më aktiv, pasi që ne si opozita dëshirojmë që të bashkëpunojmë në më mirë.
We would want the trade unions to be much more active because we as an opposition see an interest in cooperating with them.
Qeveria aktuale është vërtet nuk e ka respektuar kontratën kolektive.
It is a fact that the current government has not respected the signed collective bargaining contract.
Kemi një situatë trante njerëzve të punëtorëve në Kosovë dhe përgjithësi të shoqërisë.
The situation of the workers in Kosovo and of the society in general is a very grave one.
Unë besoj se tash do po hyjmë në procesin e reformave ligjore, legjislacione.
Now we are going through legal reforms.
Dhe natyrisht do të kemi një angazhim, por edhe një përputhshmëri me normat demokratike dhe nxjerrjes së këtyre ligjeve.
And we will step up our efforts to comply with legal norms and to enact new legislation in that line.
Po ndërlidhem edhe në pyetjen e dytë, por gjitha do të këtu kur të kemi parasysh te kalohen në çështjen për statusin politik.
Now I'd like to respond to the second question, and on that, the status question is an overriding priority in comparison to all the other ones.
Kur flas për durimin.
I'm speaking about patience.
Yes. Okay, durimin e kemi si virtut.
No, patience is a virtue in us.
Mirë po, ka herë dhe shpërthen. Dhe shpërthen keq.
Sometimes there is a limit to that, and sometimes it erupts in a bad manner.
Por më besoj se nuk do të shpërthen ai durim, por do të kemi vendimin e drejtë të komunitetit ndërkombëtar.
And I just hope that this patience will not run out, and we will the international community will have understanding for that.
Dhe do të kisha dëshiruar shumë që disa ndërkombëtar që flasin ndryshe dhe për qytetet e tyre të flasin gjithashtu edhe në Prishtinë. Duhet në kuptimin më pozitiv.
And I would wish that some internationals will speak differently in their capitals and speak with the same voice in Pristina as well. While working down in Pristina.
Ne kemi qenë mjaft të durueshëm.
We have been patient enough.
E kemi të kalu gjithë ato sfidat e pas luftës. Shumë
trauma. We have gone through all those difficult challenges after the war.
Jemi munduar ne maks, thjesht nuk jemi hakmer, po nuk po harrojmë.
So we have not revenged, but we cannot forget.
Kemi punu për standarde dhe kemi implementu në nivel sukseshëm.
We have worked on the standards and we have managed to implement them successfully to some extent.
Kemi punu për procesin e kthimit të refugjatëve në Kosovë.
We have been working on the return of refugees to Kosovo.
Kemi zbatuar veprimin afirmativ për minoritarët për të integruar në institucione.
We have applied the affirmative action for the minorities to integrate into the institutions.
Dhe i kemi integru një kohë, por për fatkesh ende vazhdo manipulimi i sërbe nga Beogradi për mos të participuar në zgjedhje dhe institucion.
And we did manage to integrate them for some time, but then it's because of the manipulation coming from Belgrade, the Serbs are not participating anymore in these institutions.
Dhe ne pretendojmë të ndërtojmë Kosovë demokratike për gjithë qytetarët me drejtat barabarta dhe jo Kosovë të pavarur vetëm për shqiptarët.
So we aspire to build an independent Kosovo for all its citizens and not just an independent Kosovo for Albanians alone.
Ku do të jetë në vendin e mirësjellje sociale sepse ende vazhdim të jemi vendi më i pazhvilluar në rajon dhe me numrin më të madh të papunëve.
That independent Kosovo should be a welfare state as well, and because nowadays we are the most underdeveloped country in Europe with the highest rate of unemployment.
Do thot, Kosovarë do t'i realizojnë gjitha objektiva dhe standarde demokratike, por nuk mund të toleroj që të ketë zgjidhje tjetër për posë pavarësish.
Okay, Kosovars, while Kosovars are ready to and committed to achieving all the democratic standards, they, however, are not ready to fall for anything short than independence.
Dhe do t'jetë shumë konstruktiv në procesin negociues.
And Pristina will be very constructive during the negotiating process.
Dhe do ta pranojmë natyrisht edhe thjesht aksesin ndërkombëtar pas statusit, aksesin civil dhe prezencën e NATO-s.
Pristina will also welcome continued international access and assistance even after the status is resolved.
Por në nivel të ekspertëve dhe jo të burokratëve të numikut.
However, this assistance should be an expert assistance, not a bureaucratic, one-make bureaucratic assistance.
Obrad, did you want to respond? If I understood Dana correctly, he was asking about the impact on the Serbian community of revelations of criminal activity in Milosevic regime.
Right. But before I get there, there's one thing I want to respond to just briefly that Ms. Tachi said that I think is very important. There's something we don't agree on, the role of Belgrade in terms of influencing local Serbs. One thing that Serbs have that's sometimes it's a plus, most of the time it's a minus, is they're very much individualist. They don't like to follow leaders. And in fact, all Serbs think of themselves as natural-born leaders. And that's why you have 650 plus parties in Serbia, because everybody wants their own party. Why should I be a member of someone else's party when I have better ideas and I look better and plus I have better ways of articulating my ideas than my president does. Sorry, I'll try better. So Belgrade would have less influence, or politicians in Belgrade would be able to influence less people if politicians amongst Albanians were able to deliver on some of the basics that were promised when Serbs entered the joint institutions, especially when it comes to security issues. This is the bottom line, is there was an opportunity to win the confidence and the trust of Serbs in Kosovo. That opportunity was missed, and unfortunately, I think it was sealed that it was missed in March that you described 2 years ago. And so it's very difficult for Serbs in Kosovo now to take a chance to go back in the institutions if they're only there as cover for another excuse for creating an independent state where there's no basis in terms of the progress that has been made for the proclamation of such a state. So I would say that if Belgrade has influence, and I would question the extent of its influence, the reason it has influence is because there was a missed opportunity there that Albanian politicians had. Now, to go back to what's happening in Serbia, I think this is a very important question. In fact, I've been writing something most recently about this, and I think Serbia is a very divided state, and Serbs are very much a divided people. And this is just one issue that divides them. One thing that they share with the other peoples in the region is the feeling, overwhelming, pervasive feeling that they're victims. And there's this victim syndrome across the Balkans. Everybody sees themselves as a victim. And in fact, what's more importantly, they see themselves as the main victim. And now, how do you get out of this syndrome? It's very difficult to do so when you have several issues. Number one is there are groups who say, everything that happened was Milosevic and his regime. So why should we deal with that now? We're not Milosevic. We don't have to deal with it. Secondly, when you have groups who say Serbs have not paid enough for everything that happened in Croatia and Bosnia and Kosovo, they have to pay more. They have to suffer more. And then you have, unfortunately, I would say one of the biggest problems in dealing with this issue of moral responsibility, most of the human rights activists now that are involved come from the left. They were members of the League of Communists. They were socialists. They were party members. All of a sudden, they are the leading human rights activists in the country. But the human rights activists during the communist period, who are now mostly bearing the brunt of their criticism, have people have forgotten who they were. Who were these people who stood up for the prisoners in Yugoslavia's prisons when Yugoslavia had the highest percentage of political prisoners in Europe? You know who they were? There were people like Vojislav Koštunica, who fought to get people released, even people who they disagreed with, whether it was Izetbegović or Šešelj, at those times prominent political prisoners. Kosta Čavoški, who's seen as an ultra-nationalist Serb now, who's almost disqualified every time he opens his mouth. These are people who fought for basic human rights during the communist system. But now we have just the opposite. We have people from the communist system who are fighting for human rights and who have very little credibility amongst average Serbs, because average Serbs know and make a distinction as to where people come from and where were they in those old days when people couldn't say what they thought or couldn't identify with their religion. And this is a big problem in Serbia. It's an issue that's going to be very difficult to deal with because of this victim perception. But I'm hopeful that some politician will come along with enough courage to take it head on and begin this process, because it's very important for Serbia. Serbia cannot be a democracy unless it deals with these issues of what happened during the war, who was responsible, at what level. For society, it's essential.
Hashim, you wanted to add something?
Unë mund të them vetëm atë se Prishtina është e përgjithshme dhe e gatshme të garantojë shumë më tepër të drejta për qytetarët serb të Kosovës sesa manipulimi i vazhdueshëm që vazhdon i Beogradit për ta.
I can only just add that Prishtina is much more ready to provide for Serb rights than Belgrade is currently doing by manipulating them.
Unë vetë kam propozuar elementin e dy shtetësisë, të drejtën e dy shtetësisë për qytetarët e Kosovës, marrëveshje bilaterale apo trilaterale.
I myself have suggested that the Serbs can be entitled, if they choose to, dual nationality by bilateral agreement.
Ne duhet të respektojmë, garantojmë dhe kultivojmë të drejtat apo monumentet kulturore historike.
We will preserve and protect the cultural and historical monuments.
Por dhe në anën tjetër, do ta iniciojmë edhe dialogun e drejtë për drejtë, edhe me Beogradin.
Besides that, we will try to initiate a direct dialogue with Belgrade as well.
Por duhet kuptuar atë se lëvizjet lirë në Kosovë ka për gjithë qytetarët e Kosovës në sër territorin e Kosovës me përjashtim të Mitrovicës për të dy etitetet, edhe serbet, edhe shqiptarët.
One thing should be clear, there is a freedom of movement in the entire territory of Kosovo, but Mitrovica, which has problems with freedom of movement for both communities, Albanians and Serbs.
Prishtina nuk ndoj paradiz vend tash.
Prishtina is not a paradise, as is known.
Mirë po, edhe në Prishtinë jetojnë serb dhe flasin serbisht.
However, there are Serbs living in Pristina currently and who can speak who speak Serbian in the street and elsewhere.
Procesi I kthimit ka vazhduar. Megjithëse jo, çfarë kemi dëshiruar?
The returns process has been ongoing, although not at the level that we would have wanted to.
Dhe problemi kryesor për Kosovën, edhe negociata do të jetë Mitrovica.
And one of the main problems during the negotiations will be Mitrovica.
A do të kemi në fakt ne de jure edhe veriu Mitrovica është pjesë e Kosovës, po de facto jo, është ndarë.
Because legally the north of Mitrovica is part of Kosovo, but de facto it's separated.
Prandaj shtrohet domosdoshmëri e mos legjitimimit të kësaj gjendje.
Now we have the necessity of not legitimizing this situation.
Apo
reality.
Apo në rastin e zgjedhjes së statusit televizive se qytetarëve nga vendi në vendin tjetër Kosovës. Të ishte grumbullimi të serbëve në veriun e Mitrovicës. E serbët Kosovës në veriun e Mitrovicës.
So it's upon us to try and to avoid any displacement of any population from the south into the north.
Por duhet të kemi proces integrues, do thotë me jetun tër territorin e Kosovës.
Which means that we need to be engaged in an integrating process whereby all the citizens of Kosovo can move freely throughout the territory.
Do të thonë nuk do ndaj plotësisht opinionin si zoti Kesiç se serbët nuk I dëgjojnë liderët e tyre, por mendoj se I dëgjojnë shumë sidomos serbët e Kosovës Beogradit.
Maybe I don't share Mr. Kesiç's opinion completely about Serbs not listening to their leaders.
Beogradi ka kërkuar që serbët e Kosovës mos marrin pjesë në zgjedhje, nuk kanë marrë pjesë.
It's a fact that Belgrade has asked the local Serbs not to participate in the elections and they did not participate.
Beogradi ka kërkuar që ata të mos jenë pjesë e parlamentit dhe qeverisë. Ata nuk janë as pjesë e parlamentit dhe as e qeverisë.
Belgrade has asked the local Serbs not to be part of the parliament of Kosovo or the government of Kosovo and they are not part of them.
Qytetarët serbë të Kosovës tashë 6 vite nuk paguajnë as taksa, nuk paguajnë as energji, nuk marrin as dokumentet e Kosovës identifikuese.
For 6 years now, local Serbs, Kosova Serbs, do not pay taxes or pay their electricity bills, and they do not accept the Kosova ID cards.
Dhe keqja më e madhe se serbët e Kosovës përfaqësuesit e tyre janë pjesë e ekipit negociator të Beogradit.
Worst of all, the representatives of the local Serbs are now part of the Belgrade team rather than Pristina, Kosovo's team.
Së do të jetë kohë elemente pozitive, Serbët e Kosovës janë integruar edhe në TMK, edhe në shërbimin policor të Kosovës.
However, there are positive examples as well, because you have Serbs who are part of the KPC, the Kosovo Protection Corps, and the Kosovo Police Service.
Ka edhe shumë të punësuar në shërbime publike, edhe në Prishtinë, por në nivele lokale.
There are many Serb civil servants, both at the central level and the municipal level.
Do të kemi edhe zhvillimin kontekstin negativ të ndikuar nga Beogradi, dhe në kuptimin pozitiv të ndikuar nga autoriteti Prishtinës për të integruar Serb në institucione dhe shoqëri.
Negative examples of bad negative influence by Belgrade, and positive influence by Pristina to integrate the Serbs into the society and the institutions. In any case, I'm optimistic that things will change for the better positively in due time.
I'm going to take three more now. I hope people will keep them brief.
Charles Kalina from the Department of Defense. My question is for Mr. Thaci and Mr. Kesiç, if he wishes to interject. You mentioned that as we go into the status talks, you are open to compromise. If your position is there will be no Serb sovereignty and no changes in the land and the boundaries, what is left to what of significance is left that Serbs and Kosovars could compromise on? What areas of compromise could there be?
Next.
Aram Avetisyan, NKR office. I have a question to Mr. Haji, and also I'd like to get a comment from Mr. Abrad. In your speech, you mentioned the uniqueness of Kosovo's case. And my question is, what certain criteria and standards make Kosovo unique, make Kosovo case unique? Because Kosovo's position based on the self-determination principle, which is applicable not only for Kosovo Albanians, but for other nations also. Thank you.
And one more, please.
Zoran Hodjira, International Monetary Fund. I have a question to both speakers and also to the moderator. To me, what we have heard, mostly we have heard the conflicting statements. We have not yet heard something which can bring the problems together. But I would like to continue on this for a moment and then go to this, to the thing which Obrador promised, that we are going to end up by finding out what can be done, what kind of compromise can be achieved. The one problem that I have, and this is addressed to both speakers, but especially to Mr. Tachi, is the problem of the Serbian position in Kosovo. It is not only a question of security. It is the question in those enclaves that they live. How can these people be integrated into the social and especially economic life of Kosovo? Right now, they are completely depending on themselves and on the handout from the international community. They have no effective role to play in the economy of Kosovo. And the second problem is the problem of the people already have mentioned this, but I would like just to so, as they say, the devil is in details. The problem of the security of the monuments in Kosovo. Whether Mr. Tachi is willing to accept the idea which was advanced over here by a number of observers in the United States, that one should grant the extraterritorial status to major monasteries and churches to protect them from any possible destruction. Now, after this, the major question which I would like to ask the both speakers is there any, can you give us some specific, you know, words are cheap, the deeds are the ones which count, some specific measures which can be taken to get some kind of joint compromise on these issues, and not the measures which are on the books, but the measures which can be enforced. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just review a number of the questions. One of the big ones is, okay, where are there areas for compromise? Another question, which I think is very important, is the question of, is Kosovo unique? How's it different from Kurdistan? Why shouldn't Kurdistan be independent? The question of practicalities of social and economic integration of the Serbs and protection of Serbian monuments. And the urging is for specific measures that could be taken cooperatively, because I think both of you have left the door open to that, but we haven't heard about a lot of them. Hashim.
Fillimisht kur flas për kompromis, flas kuptimin e negocimit. Gatishmërisë e Prishtinës për të negociuar gjitha çështjet,
When I speak about compromise, I mean the readiness of the Kosovar side to enter into a negotiation on all matters.
Për mbrojtjen thash dhe kultivimin e monumenteve kulturo-historike sipas standardeve ndërkombëtare.
As I said, this is, amongst other things, about the preservation and protection of all cultural, historical, and religious monuments.
Dhe fleksibilitetin e Prishtinës të vazhdueshëm në avancimin e kësaj çështje në të kuptuarit të komunitetit serb.
And this also includes the flexibility of the Kosovar side in trying to get them to understand.
Gatishmërinë e Prishtinës për të marrë përgjegjësi që i takojë në procesin e kthimit të refugjatëve me gjithë ndikimin politik dhe manipulativ të Beogradit të këtij procesi.
This also includes the readiness by the Kosovar side to resume the ongoing returns process in spite of the manipulation and the political influence by Belgrade.
Me gatishmërinë dhe përgjegjësinë e Prishtinës për të diskutuar dhe dëgjuar edhe autoritetet tjera në procesin e decentralizimit që do duhet ishte procesi i Prishtinës.
This also includes the readiness of the Kosovar side to hear others, other authorities in terms of how the decentralization should be carried out despite of the fact that this must be a Prishtina-led process.
Në ofertën për të drejtën e dy shtetësisë.
This also includes the offer for dual nationality.
Në ofertën për veprimin afirmativ, do thot aksionin afirmativ.
Including the affirmative action offer as well.
Do thot, e thëmë e përgjësin më të lartë, Prishtina është e gashme shumë e tepër të ofrojë për sërbet qytetarët e Kosovës se sa Beogradi.
And I say that with full responsibility that Prishtina is much more ready to offer much more rights to the Serbs, local Serbs, than Belgrade is.
Por dhe Serb qytetarët Kosovës duhet jenë pjesë e procesit demokratik dhe jo e bojkotit.
But the Kosovar Serbs should be part of the democratic process rather than boycott.
Nuk zgjidhim problemet e qytetarëve serb të Kosovës me mentalitet mesjetar.
The problems of the Kosovar Serbs cannot be solved by applying medieval mentality.
Çështjet fetare, çështjet fetare, politika është politikë.
Religious issues are one thing, political issues are another thing.
Ne do të përpiqem që të mos krijojmë pika etnike në Kosovë.
We will try to avoid any ethnic gathering points in Kosovo.
Eksterritorialiteti nuk është zgjidhje.
The extraterritoriality.
Çdo dëshiron Prishtina.
The extraterritoriality is not a solution that Prishtina would desire.
Por është një çështje që kërkon studim të veçantë.
But this is something that needs to be studied separately.
Për të gjetur në këtë proces të negociueshëm zgjidhjen më drejt.
In order to come up with the best possible solution during the negotiating process.
Beogradi nuk është interesuar për serbet qytetarë të Kosovës aq shumë.
Belgrade does not seem to be much interested in the fate of the Kosovar Serbs.
Nga e që shumë në projektet e tyre, po është interesuar për territorin e Kosovës.
From what we see their projects and drafts, but they are rather interested in the territory of Kosovo.
Për krijimin e enklavave një etnike, në kuptimin etnik serb, për krijimin e rripave etnik dhe ndarjen e Mitrovicës.
And this by bringing about ethnic division in Kosovo, by creating ethnic belts in Kosovo, and by ultimately dividing the north of Kosovo.
Pastaj hum kuptimin edhe zgjidhje statusit nëse implementohen gjithë këto projektet e Beogradit.
If this would be the case, if all these projects were to be implemented, then the status would have no meaning.
Kosova paraqet rast unik.
Kosova is a unique case.
Republika Srpska është krijesë e gjenocidit.
Republika Srpska is a creature which was formed by genocide.
Dhe çdo paralele është sinqerisht shumë e paqëndrueshme, shumë e paargumentueshme dhe jo e sinqertë.
And every parallel that can be made is totally unfounded, has no arguments and it's totally insincere.
Kosova është një rast që në fakt vetëm sa duhet të respektohet shembulli i morit zi. Thjesht përmes referendumit që unë do të preferoj më tepër.
Kosova is a case which should follow the Montenegrin example by organizing a referendum, which is would be my preference.
Kosova është imponueshëm nën Serbi, ka qenë.
Kosova has always been forced, imposed upon Kosova, has always been imposed upon Kosova to be under Serbian rule.
Nuk dua t'ju lë këtu me histori.
I don't want to bother you with history.
Por duhet edhe në kohën e mbretërisë, mbretërive të mëhershme, edhe në kohën e përfundimit të luftës botërore, të së dytë botërore edhe në kohën e Titos.
And this was the case both during the Serbian kingdom and then after the Second World War and also during the Tito time.
Ne mund të kërkojmë zgjidhje të shumta.
We may be searching for different solutions.
Por sinqerisht popullin e Kosovës shtirësh dikush ta binte që ndrojnë nën Serbi.
But
dhe në zgjidhje pavarësi.
Frankly speaking, it would be totally impossible to convince the Albanians that they have to live again under Serbia or have a status solution short of independence.
Nëse respektohet e drejta qytetarëve në Malë të Zi dhe që ollohen për krah për referendum, pse mos më jdo kjo drejta e qytetarëve të Kosovës me shpreh vullnetin e vet?
If the Montenegrins are entitled, and I support that, entitled to express their free will through a referendum, why wouldn't this right be granted to Kosovars as well?
Edhe në Malë të Zi ka minoritar, po i një integru.
There are minorities in Montenegro as well, but they have been integrated.
Dhe tjeni sigur, Kosova ka luajtur rolin shumë pozitiv u integru minoritarët në Malë të Zi në institucionet dhe shoqëri.
And you can be sure that Kosova played a very positive role so that the minorities in Montenegro are integrated both into the society and the institutions, Montenegrin institutions.
Dhe Kosova ka luajtur rol shumë të rëndësishëm dhe pozitiv edhe për integrimin e qytetarëve shqiptar që jetojnë në Preshevë, Medveç dhe Bujanës për të integruar në institucione dhe shoqëri në Serbi.
This was also the case in the Preshova Valley in Preshevë, Medveç and Bujanës where Kosovar Albanians have played an important role for the ethnic Albanians there to be integrated into the society and the Serb institutions.
Por edhe në të njëjtën kohë rol ka luajtur shumë krucial dhe shumë pozitiv edhe për integrimin e shqiptarëve të Maqedonisë në institucione dhe shoqëri dhe implementimin e marrëveshjes së Ohrit.
But the Kosovar Albanians I think played the most crucial role in the case of Macedonia for the Albanians there in Macedonia to be integrated into the institutions and to abide by the Ohrid agreement.
Unë nuk jam zëdhënës shqiptarëve në rajon.
I am not a mouthpiece or a spokesman of Albanians in the region.
Por leadershipi kosovar dhe politika kosovare ka luajtur rol pozitiv në zhvillimet në rajon.
But it is a fact that the Kosovar leadership and Kosovar politics has played a positive role in the developments in the region.
Prandaj nuk duhet të ndeshkohet, por duhet sinqerisht të respektohet vullneti i tyre.
And thus the Kosovar leadership and the Kosovar people should not be punished, but should rather be their will should be respected.
Jo, unë asë dyshoj se do të ndeshkohet.
And I don't suspect that they will be punished.
Ober.
Oh, I think we're really stressing where we differ as opposed to where we agree, unfortunately. But it's very difficult. I think the question is Kosovo unique? And my answer is no. And I think this is the problem that exists because the response, it's not only comparing Kosovo to Republika Srpska, it's comparing Kosovo, as Dan said, to Kurdistan. It's comparing Kosovo to other cases of minorities that are find themselves minorities in someone else's majority country. The argument that's been laid forth for Kosovo independence is almost a negative argument, and that is we cannot live together in Serbia because we'll be a minority in Serbia, but Serbs should live very peacefully with us in Kosovo and should trust us to protect them and to guarantee their basic rights. The problem is that the Serbs don't have that trust, and that the political leaders of the Albanians haven't won the trust of the average Serbs in Kosovo. And it's primarily because there's a lack of physical security. There's a lack of basic civic and human rights for Serbs that find themselves in Kosovo. They live in enclaves. There's no freedom of movement.
200,000 plus are dislocated and live in camps in Serbia. The list is very long. The reports are very extensive from the UN reporters themselves, from representatives of the UN, as to the failure of implementing basic human rights and civic rights in Kosovo. The argument that has to be made is an argument that not only satisfies the aspirations of one people, but the argument that should be made is that that provides the best chance for a durable peace and security for all the peoples in the region. A solution that embraces the desire of Albanians to have self-governance, but also that embraces the fact and recognizes that multi-ethnic countries cannot have the international community turn their backs on them simply for the sake of a simplistic solution. That if you are trying to build a multi-ethnic state in Bosnia and forcing peoples to live together who normally would rather not do that, if they were allowed to express their referendum will, what is the argument for doing just the opposite in Kosovo? I think the lack of very specific principles and the contradiction in application of these principles between Kosovo and other cases in the Balkans has set the peace process back. Now, how do we move forward? I think we have to put aside the very problematic issue of status. That I don't say put it aside for 20 years. I don't say put it aside for 50 years. But in the initial negotiations, the emphasis should be made on practical issues that affect the everyday lives of Serbs and Albanians. And this is, unfortunately, we don't have time now, but this is what I wanted to really emphasize. There are issues that there could be compromises made which could go a long way to build trust and confidence. Communication, transportation, property rights, freedom of movement, documentation, and the need for documentation, all these issues call for compromise between Serbs and Albanians. And I'm optimistic that there can be solutions reached for those issues. I'm not as optimistic when it comes to the status question because it's very difficult, as you see from our discussion here, to find a middle ground when you have one side saying we're going to compromise except on independence and the other side that says we'll compromise on everything except on independence. So it's very difficult to see the middle ground between those two points. But on these other issues, it's on the opposite case, you can find middle ground fairly easy.
I'm going to have to wrap us up there. We had scheduled ourselves for an hour and a half. We're a little bit over time. I know a number of people have other appointments. I want to join my voice to Obraz, and I think to Hashim's too, in a kind of optimism about the prospects for agreement on at least some practical issues, and I think eventually on status as well. The real issue is whether you can do that faster than events will take it out of your control. And it's very much my hope that Ahtisaari, with the help of Wisner and Lene, will be able to do that. I do take some comfort, frankly, from this event and the capability of both Obrad and Hashim to express themselves clearly, forthrightly, and politely to each other on issues that really have aroused a great deal of passion in the past. And I detect a change in the balance between passion and reason, and I think it's a very happy change. So I think we ought to thank them for that.